So are less people or more people dieting than ever? We have two reports that have differing opinions. Plus, we discuss unusual ways to motivate yourself to lose weight. All this and more on episode number 42 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. So, Russ, I heard you had quite the weekend last weekend.
Yeah, you know, I alluded to it last week. The whole family was sick, and so I said to wait, and it would come to me. And sure enough, Friday afternoon, of course, just in time for the weekend. No, the whole weekend I was pretty much taken out and really didn't feel back to normal until Monday. So really only a couple days passed now since I've been feeling even a tiny bit able to eat regular food.
But you did allude earlier before the show that you did have some great weight loss over the weekend while you were spending it in the bathroom.
There is nothing like a good stomach virus to clean you out and, well, more importantly, just dehydrate you completely. Now, I lost, about 4.5 pounds over the weekend? So, not bad, but I expect quite a few of those to come back here by next week.
And I see here you're down to 252 pounds, you said. So you have now lost 44 pounds, even if some of that, you know, is probably going to come back a bit for next week. You are now ahead of the show. We're on show number 42 and you're 44 pounds down. So I guess congratulations are in order.
Thank you. even if they're short-lived, I appreciate them. But how are you doing? What happened with you this week?
My school right now is preparing for our Terry Fox run. Did you ever do a Terry Fox run when you were in school?
A Terry Fox run? No, I don't know what that is.
Okay, well, I guess I'll give you a little history. Terry Fox, this was in 1980, he did this Marathon of Hope run, and he was a cancer survivor, and he'd actually lost a leg, so he had a prosthesis on one leg, and he was going to run all the way across Canada to raise money for cancer. So he was kind of hopping along, and every single day he tried to run, you know, 26 miles, a full marathon. And you have to keep in mind, to get across Canada, that was 9,600 kilometers, or a little over 6,000 miles to get from coast to coast in Canada. And he made it 5,400 kilometers, or just a little over 3,300 miles, and his cancer returned, and he actually ended up dying. And this has now turned into the Cancer Society's largest one-day fundraiser every year. So pretty much every school in Canada in September, we have a Terry Fox run, which is a fundraiser, and we'll have a run and a walk, you know, about a 5 kilometer run and probably a 3 kilometer walk. And my school, we have 900 students, so we need to go out and get city permits, and we have to close some roads, and we have to have people standing at intersections directing traffic. So it's quite a big event. And as you'll see, pretty much every school in Canada has this every year.
Wow, it's very inspirational, but sad, really sad at the same time. I mean, only to go 3,300 miles and then die.
We used to show in school every year, you'd see the Terry Fox story, a movie on it, and you'd see at the end of most of the days, he'd be taking off his prosthesis leg and his stump would be all bleeding and it was all blistered. It was really quite a struggle. And he was a guy that just would not stop. And the only thing that stopped him was when the cancer spread to his lungs, you know, and he couldn't go on. And, you know, he only lasted, you know, not too much longer after that before he passed away from it. But it's definitely inspirational. And when we talk about this marathon of hope that he did, kids can run, you know, a half hour, 40 minutes, you know, once a year and collect some money for cancer.
Well, good luck with that. I hope they raise a lot of money for that. That sounds like a very good cause.
All right. Well, let's get right into the email and comments.
Right. First up this week, we have a voicemail from Matt. He is from Michigan, and he wanted to know how to get family members motivated to exercise and get healthy.
Hey, guys. Love the podcast. Just started listening just a few weeks ago and absolutely loving it, finding a lot of valuable information. My question for you guys is, how do you get family members motivated? I've got parents that are significantly overweight, and having a hard time tiptoeing around the subject of you need to exercise, you need to change your diet. They love to cruise, they love the cruises and all that kind of thing and all the bars. They love to go out to eat a lot and just don't see a need to exercise or change a lifestyle, even though they're running into a lot of the issues that you guys have talked about on the last few podcasts as far as the gout and other issues they've had, health issues, blood pressure, and so on. So how do you motivate them and nicely say you need to get up and get off the couch and start exercising? Love the podcast. Talk to you later.
Well, that's a very interesting voicemail, and that leads to a lot of different things you might be able to do to help motivate your parents. But the bottom line is, you can't motivate someone to do something if they really don't want to change in the first place. So what you need to do is try and change their desire to want to be motivated to make a change. As well, many people who need to lose weight maybe don't really see it that way. They might be in denial. I mean, look at a smoker. A lot of smokers who are smoking and they know it's bad for them, but they don't feel sick, so they don't have the motivation. It takes a lot more convincing and a lot of other factors for them to want to stop smoking. With food, you have the other thing where people eat every single day, and a lot of people get a lot of enjoyment from eating. And you have to think, eating is one of the most powerful drives that we have. People love their food. I hear stories from people who are type 2 diabetics who lose eyesight and have their toes cut off because of all the complications of diabetes, but they just can't make themselves stop eating. They love the food more than the harm that's causing their body. So just being sick and having things like you said, your parents have gout and high blood pressure, that may not be enough to convince them. For some people, they really have to hit rock bottom before they're going to change their lifestyle. And by rock bottom, it could be a sickness, it could be a doctor telling them to, it could be that they realize that none of their clothes are fitting, or it could even be something innocent like a little kid telling you that you're fat. So you need some sort of trigger when you hit rock bottom, and that generally is the motivation that gets them started. Now, everyone needs a powerful reason to exercise and get healthy. And for many people, they're comfortable with their fatness. So the reward of an inactive lifestyle and gorging on food day after day is more appetizing than the perceived pain of a diet. So when the pain of being fat is greater than the pain of changing their lifestyle, then they're going to lose weight. So how do you tell someone who's enjoying all the food on a cruise not to enjoy themselves and go on a diet? It's really, really hard to do it. But I've come up with a couple ways that you might be able to get people motivated to lose weight. Now, the number one way is to educate them. And that's really what we're doing in this podcast. But if you educate them about the bad things that can happen to them, a show that we had a few shows ago was on death and diseases caused by obesity. And again, you mentioned that your parents have had gout and high blood pressure and other ailments from their obesity, but maybe that's not quite enough. Second way, maybe educate them about all the good things. You know, the better sleep, all of the extra strain on their organs will be gone. Their joint pain that's caused naturally by age and gets worsened by obesity will start to get better. You know, their gout can improve, their blood pressure will go down. So try not just to say the negative bad things that will happen, but also try and do from the other way that these are the good things that could happen. And the third way is to really say that I'm going to help you out with this fitness and eating. Now, if they're your parents, you can offer to get a gym membership with them, go to the gym with them, do some activities with them, go shopping, cook healthy meals together. There's other things that you can do. One of the best ways is to go on a fitness and diet plan with someone so they're kind of sharing in the pain. And the last way, if we're talking about your parents, we could add a little bit of guilt. You know, your parents do us when we were growing up. So here's some guilt you can add to them. If they have grandchildren, they will die earlier and will not see certain events in your grandchildren's lives if they don't lose the weight. This is not rocket science. The heavier you are, the harder your organs have to work, the harder your blood has to pump, all of that extra blood and effort and all the lungs and breathing, it gets harder and they wear out their bodies faster than the average person. If their grandchild comes up to them and says, I hope you're here to see my high school graduation, being overweight might not help. So these are just some of the suggestions. Of course, you have to know your parents better than anyone else, and you might have other things that will work with them, but try and use the education about the good and the bad and offer to help them out. Just don't tell them to go out and do it. So those are my suggestions of what you possibly could do.
All right, let's get into our second comment. And it's from Brenda. And Brenda wrote in about the Wii Fit. We talked about the Wii Fit quite a few episodes ago and read a little article or portions of an article from Consumer Reports. And well, we gave our opinion, but Brenda wrote in with her opinion. And here it is. Hi, just discovered your podcast a few days ago, and I love it. After my third daughter was born in May of this year, I knew I had to get off my butt and lose the weight. 237 pounds was just too much. I am down to 209 with another 69 pounds to go till my goal. Your podcast is great to listen to, informative and motivating. I was listening to show number 36 today and wanted to give you my opinion on the Wii Fit. Personally, I love it. Russ made a great point when referring to it as a gateway drug for exercise. It was great in getting my butt off the couch to begin with, and now that I've moved on to more challenging things, I still use my Wii Fit on days when I'm tired or just can't fit in a real workout.
I found it's been especially helpful in the evenings. After the kids go to bed, my husband and I like to watch TV and relax, which usually would have included dessert or a snack of some kind. This eating at night has always been a big downfall for me. To fix this, whenever I feel like I need to eat in the evening while watching TV, I put the Wii Fit on. There's one aerobics exercise called Free Step, in which you can change the channel on your TV while still doing your own step aerobics routine on the Wii Fit balance board. It times you and counts your steps, and you keep the time and rhythm with the Wii remote, which sounds out of beat. It's very simple, requires absolutely no brain power, and it's something that keeps me busy while watching TV, so I'm not just sitting around and munching. I don't rely on it as my main workout, but it certainly helps.
One of my favorite aerobic exercises is the rhythm boxing. It's a lot of fun and seems slow and simple to do, but by the end of a 10-minute session, I've usually worked up a good sweat. It also helps to improve coordination. What I also find helpful are the BMI and weight graphs. They show you your progress, and it's a great motivator to go back through the weeks and look at how far you've come. You can also set short-term goals for your weight loss, and the Wii Fit keeps track of your progress and lets you know if you're approaching your goal at a good pace. The Fit credit system that it uses, basically just how many minutes of exercise you've done so far, is also helpful. And you can add your own activities to the log to keep track of all your exercise apart from the Wii Fit.
The only cons? Sometimes the Wii Fit can be a little discouraging. If you come back after an extended absence, for example, you'll find that you're fast asleep. Also, it doesn't let you log activity for previous days, only for the day that you're on. So, if you don't come to it every day, you don't get to put in your previous activity. And, like Russ said, the balance games are really only fun. They require definite concentration, but it's not really exercise in any other way, other than to give you an awareness of your posture and body position. Anyway, that's my take on the Wii Fit. Thanks so much for the great podcast, and keep up the good work. Sincerely, Brenda.
Yeah, you know, I was over at the store, and there's no Wii Fits in the store, but there was Rock Band. So I've got a set of drums and a guitar and a microphone right now hooked up to my my Wii, and it's not really a workout, but it's a whole lot of fun. But as soon as that Wii Fit gets in stock somewhere, I'm going to get one for sure. Well, thank you, Matt and Brenda, for sending in your comments. If you at home would like to leave us a comment, there are a few ways you can do that. And the first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
You can also leave us a voicemail just like Matt did by clicking on the Call Me button on the website over at fattofitradio.com.
And the last way, you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
Okay, now let's get to a couple of news articles on this week's web report.
The first article that I have comes from thetimesonline.co.uk, and it's entitled, How Men Caught the Weight-Watching Bug. Now, this is an interesting article, and it's talking about how men are becoming more and more worried about their weight and going to the gym. So I'll just quote the article here. As the latest issue of Men's Health magazine attests, a survey of its readers shows that 62% of guys worry about their daily caloric intake, and Men's Health magazine has bucked the trend in men's magazines by increasing sales for 7 consecutive years. So definitely men are having more and more interest in health and fitness. Some other points here. In 1974, a G.I. Joe doll, the American equivalent of Action Man, had a 44-inch chest, 31-inch waist, and 12-inch biceps. That was a huge guy in 1974. The G.I. Joe today has a 50-inch chest, 28-inch waist, and 22-inch biceps. And if you even look at current things like the new James Bond, Daniel Craig, and you look at him compared to the 1970s of Roger Moore, Roger Moore just looks like a regular skinny kind of guy. And now, you know, Daniel Craig has the six-pack abs and the muscles. So there is quite a difference from men. And here's another statistic. From 1958 to 1998, 20% of U.S. print ads showed undressed female models. So in the 1950s, only 3% of models who were men were undressed, you know, had their shirt off. But then in the 1990s, that rose to 35%. So the guy's physique has been changing over the decades to one where it takes a lot more work. You can't just be the average skinny guy and be a popular, you know, Hollywood actor now. Now you look at Brad Pitt, who has, you know, a lot more muscles than he had, you know, 15 years ago when his acting career started. So Hollywood is changing. It's putting more pressure on men, and men are really getting self-conscious about their weight and their looks just like the women are. And just to prove my point a little bit more, this is a story that just came out today, and it's in People magazine, and it's NBA star Baron Davis. I'm on Jenny Craig. So this is a guy, if you don't know who Baron Davis is, he's 6'3", he plays for the LA Clippers, and he is on Jenny Craig right now, and he's going to be one of their spokesmen. Now, this is a professional athlete who, during the offseason, put on a lot of weight, and he's using Jenny Craig to take it off. I guess the biggest thing about this, in my opinion, this is a professional athlete who does not understand nutrition and why he's putting on weight and how to keep in good shape, which is kind of surprising. So what do you think about that, Russ?
Well, I think there's definitely, you know, this huge focus on the looking good. And I don't know if you have, I'm sure you do, Abercrombie and Fitch stores in your in Canada?
Yeah, we do.
Well, there was a new one here opened up in the Grove. It's this kind of upscale outdoor shopping center in LA. And I had never seen an Abercrombie and Fitch opening before. And there was a guy, a couple of guys, standing in the doorway, really good shaped guys, six pack, you know, ripped and everything. No shirts on, jeans, no shoes. A belt with the hanging down portion, you know, it was a belt probably twice the size it needed to be. It was hanging down. And they're just standing in the doorway all kind of gelled up and looking hot and all. And I'm thinking, that's very interesting. That's, you know, they're using that, the physique and, you know, sex to sell. And that's, you know, a lot of times even the movie stars, you know, they're using that physique to sell the movies as well. So, you know, I don't see that going down anytime soon.
Well, it's definitely true. What we consider beauty changes, you know, year after year. Like we said, you know, 150 years ago, if you had an extra 50 or 60 pounds, you were well-fed and you were very attractive. But what do you have for us this week, Russ?
Well, this article, a little bit opposite of what you found in that last article. This is from the Boston Globe, and it's titled Interest in Dieting Slims Down. And this is talking about the study that will soon to be published in the annual report on eating patterns in America. So it's looking at dieting and people's view of their bodies. And this says here, 26% of all women in the United States and 16% of men for the year ending February 2008 are on a diet. That is down. In 1990, the same report found that 39% of women and 29% of men were on a diet. So it looks like people are not going on diets as often as they used to. So that kind of goes against that Men's Health article a little bit. But also what I found really interesting is in 1985, 55% of the people who were on this survey completely agreed with this statement. People who are not overweight look a lot more attractive. So 55% in 1985. And today, only 25% of the people in this survey agree with that statement. Again, the statement is people who are not overweight look a lot more attractive. So, really, what does that mean? Are we changing our tastes and so we're getting bigger? Or is it that we're getting bigger so we're saying, well, you know, I'll take what I can get. You know, I'm going to go for the chubbier version of that attractive man or woman. And I don't know which is the case, but it's also saying here that people, instead of dieting, they're getting tired of dieting, and instead they're just eating healthy, not watching their portions, but they're eating things that are healthier for them. So again, it goes against what that Men's Health article said, but which came first here, kind of a chicken and egg situation.
Well, that is definitely very interesting how we can have two different stories from two different news sources that have the absolute opposite results and conclusions from their stories. I'm looking a little bit farther down in the article there, and it says another possible explanation why fewer people in their survey might not be on a diet right now is because there's no new exciting diets that have come out. You know, since the South Beach and the Atkins diet and, you know, all those other ones came out, there's nothing really big coming out right now. So maybe when people think about going on a diet, they're thinking, am I on a commercial diet plan or a diet book that I'm following? As opposed to people, like you said, who are just starting to eat more healthy and cutting back and exercising a little more.
Yeah, it says here, the South Beach diet, which you mentioned, that came out in 2004. It sold 2.4 million copies. Recent here, last year, You on a Diet was the big Oprah-backed Dr. Oz and Roizen, and they managed to only sell 706,000 copies. And that was the big one of 2007. And so far, there's one called Eat This, Not That. And that just came out recently. And I want to say that my wife bought that book too. I think it's sitting on our dining room table. I haven't taken a look at it yet. But it is, again, only sold 552,000 copies so far this year.
Well, I guess the best case scenario is that people are actually starting to get it, that, you know, these diet plans don't work. It's just a lifestyle change. That's the best way that we can think about it, and not the other way, that people are just giving up and not caring and letting themselves go.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing here, that the idea is not to give up, but it's not to be on a diet either. It's to change your lifestyle, to make that slow change and eat healthy, exercise more, and get down to that lower, healthier weight.
Well, speaking of that, let's move on to our feature section. And today we're talking about unusual ways to motivate dieters. And I guess this kind of goes along with the email of how can you motivate your parents to go on a diet if they're not interested. But these are more of the unusual ways. So the first way that I found, I actually saw this on TV a couple months ago. And the website is dollarsfordieting.com. And this is a doctor in his own private practice who has his patients, if they want to, they sign a contract with him, and there's no specific diet plan. He just tells them about good common sense advice of what to eat and what to avoid. And if they lose a pound, he pays them a dollar. If they gain a pound, the patient pays the doctor a dollar. And they have this contract, and you know, every visit they pay up, you know, whoever has gained or lost weight will pay the doctor or vice versa. And he's found this very motivating for people. And it's not all about the money. People aren't getting rich off this, obviously. And he's now increased it. So he is offering every year a 3-day trip to Las Vegas, you know, all inclusive. He's covering all the expenses for the patient who loses the most weight that year in his practice. And he also has, if you lose more than 10% of your body weight in a year, he gives you a $50 gift card. So he's really trying to motivate people by, you know, putting money in their pockets. And he's really found that it doesn't take a lot of money. People don't want to lose money. They want to earn money. And it's kind of like this psychology thing where people will work really hard to earn $1 million, but they will work a lot harder to keep someone from stealing $1 million of their own money. So the thing about giving money or receiving money really tends to work with his patients. And I was thinking how you could do this in the real world, because this is just one doctor in his own private practice. Why not make a deal with someone else that you will pay them a dollar if you gain a pound, and, you know, vice versa like that? And what about if you had 10 people that you made that deal with? So every pound that you lose, 10 people are going to give you a dollar each. That's $10 per pound. And it's even more painful if you gain weight because you're paying $10 per pound. So that's one interesting thing that I found pretty neat.
My first one I found here, I found it on YouTube, and it was in one of those like related videos that I was watching something else, and it popped up here, and it said, "Watch me shrink." And it had a picture of a kind of a woman's profile. And I thought, I'm a dude, I'm going to check this out. And I found this whole great meme of these women and men, but most of them are women, on YouTube who have said, okay, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to document it on the internet, and particularly on YouTube. And so every week they take a video of themselves and kind of give you a, you know, a little text and what happened during the week, but they kind of give you their side view, front view, back view. And each week as they lose weight or they don't lose weight, and they will show you all this, and it's really great. And we'll have a link in the show notes, and I'm looking at one called right now, My Journey to Lose 08. And they're on week 11 here I'm looking at, and it's great. They've lost 60 pounds on this, and they've been showing it. So it's really wonderful. A lot of them also have said, okay, you know, they do it for a couple weeks and they drop off, and it's going to happen, obviously. But the ones who stick with it here and, you know, are motivated by showing everybody that they can do it, they lose weight. And it's a great way to join in a community to and have people root you on as you lose weight.
That'd be really excellent if you could find someone who kind of looks like you right now and has succeeded, and you can use them as a model of what can happen for you. And boy, I tell you, that would take a lot of guts to be putting this up on YouTube all the time as you're losing weight. That would definitely put the pressure on you to motivate it. Even more than you, Russ. I mean, you're talking about your weight every single week, how you're losing weight. Can you imagine, you know, you in a Speedo week after week showing exactly what's happening? That'd be a lot more pressure.
You know, I don't have to imagine it. I see it every morning when I look in the mirror. But it's a whole nother level. Talking about here in the podcast, you know, is one thing. But really, putting up videos, turning around when things move, you know, it's just, it's a whole nother level of something I'm not going to do. But, you know, good on them for giving that a try.
But I think the most amazing thing is when you see people who've lost a lot of weight and you see along the journey, and if they're telling you how much weight they're losing, remember I said that 5 pounds of weight loss is about the equivalent in volume of a regular loaf of bread. So that much volume is coming off you every 5 pounds. Now, it's not coming off the exact same spot of you. It's coming off all over, but that's a lot of difference. So 5 pounds, 10 pounds, and you can see the difference. So if you only lose a couple pounds here and there, and you're feeling bad about yourself, and you see the success and what it looks like in other people, it really could be a good thing to look at some of these videos. Well, my next one came from telegraph.co.uk, and it was an article entitled, "Can Eating Naked Help You Lose Weight?" The article listed a couple unusual techniques, and I pulled out two of my favorites, so I'll tell them right now. Now, the first one, of course, was eating in the nude or nude in front of a mirror. And the theory is that if you attempt to make yourself feel conscious of every single fattening mouthful as you're eating it, it might keep you from eating as much, and it might make you very conscious of what you're putting in your body. However, there is a one caveat here, and it's not recommended for regular restaurants. Okay, but moving on, here's the next one, and it was known as the flash diet. We've talked about keeping a food diary, and it's one of the most powerful things you can do to hold yourself accountable to what you're eating. This takes it a little step further. Now that people have camera phones and smaller cameras, they are suggesting that you actually take a photo of everything that you eat throughout the day. And then you can literally print it out and put it in your food diary and flip back, and you can see. There's no cheating saying, oh, I only had half a donut or something. You can actually see what you really ate. And this reminds me of a television show. It's a British show called You Are What You Eat. And when they start off this show and they're meeting the person who they're going to help along with their diet, they keep track of what they eat for an entire week. Then they go out and they recreate all of the food that they've eaten, and they put it on a huge table, everything they've drank, everything they've eaten. And you see it's just a mountain of food. So taking a picture of everything you're eating might just make you more conscious of what you're really putting in your body. I mean, it couldn't hurt to give it a shot.
Right. You know, this was, I saw this, you put it on there. I thought, what a great idea. If there is anybody out there listening to the show who'd like to put together, help us put together something like this, I would love to have something like this where we can have users come in and you can register and come in and you can upload your pictures of your food you're eating and kind of give you a really visual diary of that. I know I've been doing that a couple times recently when there's like, you know, this is an excellent meal and I'll take a picture of it. And I'll send it up to a thing called TwitPic. It's part of the whole Twitter thing, you know, the whole online community. And it's shared along to all your people that you're that are following you. It would be really fun to do that, I think, with some of the listeners here. If anybody's interested, send us an email about that.
And you had another thing, Russ?
Well, here recently, Sandra Davis over at the support forums put in a post here about what was your trigger. She was specifically mentioning the story about John Sanderson that we talked about a couple shows ago. And there was one here that I thought was a motivation that I didn't think about, and it's revenge. This was from another poster here, Melissa Stewart, and she wrote, "My trigger was breaking up with my boyfriend. Being with him did nothing for my self-esteem, and he encouraged my bad habits. Once I dumped him and took control of my life, I've become a lot happier and healthier." So, you know, if you've broken up with that boyfriend or that girlfriend, you're like, I am going to be in the best shape of my life. You don't not going to know what you're missing out on, baby. Now you are going to be missing out on a great thing. And it might maybe one of those things like maybe it's not the most positive motivation, but it can be a powerful one. Anything that gets you started on that path, you know, again, it can't hurt.
Well, that's right. As long as the motivation is working for you, it doesn't necessarily have to be positive. You want it to be powerful, whether it's positive or negative, if it motivates you. So whether you're looking at how you want to look in the mirror and what you're imagining and that's getting you there, or you're looking at a picture of yourself at your heaviest weight, whatever truly is working for you to keep you motivated, when you're thinking of getting that chocolate bar or getting an apple, that's the most important thing. So hopefully everyone out there has found something that they can use, or maybe given you an idea of something that you can adapt for yourself to help motivate you. So Russ, what do we have for the recipe of the week?
Oh, this week, you know, my wife Laura loves to put things in the crock pot, the slow cooker. You know, you put them in the morning and then the evening, you got a full meal, boom, right there, ready to eat. But those aren't always the lowest fat things you could eat. So I was thinking, I love that idea of it's easy. You put it in before you go to work or at lunchtime, and then it's done when you're ready to eat dinner. So I'm going to focus here in the next couple weeks on these crock pot slow cooking meals. It's my own little thing here. So the first one is called Amazing Pork Tenderloin in the Slow Cooker. And you know, the ingredients are very simple. A little bit of onion soup mix, a little bit of red wine, some garlic, some soy sauce, and, you know, these great pork tenderloins. And a little information here, pork tenderloin, you might think, pork, it's fat, you know, I don't want to eat a lot of pork. It's not on a good, healthy diet. Well, 3 ounces of pork, it's 143 calories, only 3 grams from fat, and 13 grams of protein. So definitely part of a healthy diet, the pork tenderloin. So check out the recipe. It'll be in the show notes.
You know, Russ, that's kind of funny because I had a pork tenderloin yesterday. We bought a huge pork tenderloin. We cooked it in the George Foreman grill. And half of that, we split it in half, was about 300 calories. And it was a huge piece of meat. It was great.
I'll confess that I got the idea from tonight because we had pork tenderloin tonight. So, again, it's very topical, very timely here. But Jeff, what kind of homework do we want all the people at home to do this week?
So the homework today goes along with what we're talking about in the show. And it is to encourage one person that you know to lose some weight and hopefully get into more of a healthy lifestyle. Now, the worst thing that could happen is that they're not ready yet to make a lifestyle change and they say no. And the best thing that could happen, you could end up getting another diet buddy, someone who can share all the knowledge and information you now know about dieting and fitness. And that's the best thing.
Great. And what is our motivational quote this week?
Well, the quote comes from William Feather, and it is, "Success seems to be largely a matter of hanging on after others have let go."
That's awesome. So thank everybody for listening and for downloading all the show notes and all the links you'll find over at the website fattofitradio.com. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.